Hello, everyone. This is Luke John Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Karen Stargates. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And thank you so much for that. We are blessed to have her here as a guest. She is the founder and owner of Stargates Business Communications, and she is a freelance copywriter who helps businesses boost messaging and agencies boost revenues through outsourced copywriting, advertising, PR, and marketing. And she is someone who has degrees in at NYU, from NYU and Emory University. So we are very blessed to have her here. She's a very busy woman, so she was able to carve out some time in her packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So thank you so much. And I guess to start off, can you tell us about your background and how you first gravitated towards doing what you do today?
Sure. And actually, there was a time when I couldn't remember how I got into this, because I have a Bachelor of Science in Psychology, and all my life I wanted to be a doctor and thought I would be a brain surgeon or a psychiatrist, and then I was going to be a clinical psychologist. And by the time I got out of college, I couldn't wait to just not do any of that. And literally woke up one morning my junior year in college with the revelation that I was going to be an advertising copywriter, and had no idea really what this was. But I was taking an elective course in the business school on marketing, and that's how I found out about it. And all my life, all my aptitude tests, all my teachers, all my advisors, my whole life, has said, you should be a writer. You should be a writer. You know, right. Go into newspaper work. Go into long-form writing, which I don't like. And I just thought, advertising copywriting. What the heck is that? So after I got out of college, I started contacting ad agencies and finding out what it would take for an untrained, uneducated person in the field to break into advertising. I was very fortunate to have a few people take me under their wing, explain at the time the need to create a spec portfolio, and I did that, and then got a few breadcrumbs where I would get a little assignment, something that wasn't going to hurt anybody, and got a few assignments that I could put in my portfolio as real work. And little by little, it took 2 years for me to get the brass ring job, the really good junior copywriting job at the largest independent agency in the Southeast. I had stayed in Atlanta. And it was a great job. And took 2 years, worked my way in, worked my way up. And from there, my career was really launched. And I was exposed to some really excellent opportunities.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's an interesting story. Thank you for sharing it. It's curious how you're interested in being a doctor, like a psychiatrist, therapist.
Yeah, you know, all my life. But
right.
I also was always a really good writer. You know, I was in college. I was writing everybody's term papers. It was one of those. You know, give me a topic, give me the research. I'll get this done for you. When do you need it by? You know, I took it for granted, and my English teacher in 11th grade was particularly influential on me and with me, and her words of advice really stuck. So when I realized that I wasn't going to go to psychology grad school and pursue that, and had taken this business school course, and that sort of opened up another avenue, I thought, I think I need to explore that.
Right.
I did.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's interesting how life takes these sort of turns and whatnot. I speak with a lot of successful people who don't really don't work in the field they thought they'd be working in, or originally thought they would be working in. And, you noticed that you had this talent for writing, and people also pointed it out to you, and you decided to use that gift to help yourself and obviously to help others. And it's interesting. Now, you also had a lot of people help you out. You had that mm-hmm. team, so to speak, which is amazing. And you started off with the breadcrumbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you had to kind of work your way up to until you got that brass ring,
right?
Which is amazing. And here you are, And so my understanding is that now you don't work with any specific company. You have your own firm, and you're sort of
Correct.
Like a freelance. Okay,
right.
That's
I'm
wonderful.
I'm the journeyman of copywriting people, yes. So, you know, I have some of my own direct clients, and I also support a number of marketing PR agencies in a number of ways, you know, to get their clients, their projects done.
Wow, that's amazing. And obviously, you know, you had this gift for writing, but you were using it to write, I guess, other stuff like, you know, term papers and whatnot. But this idea of writing to put words together in order to sell was a bit new to you, right? And you were wondering,
yeah,
how would I
write? But it was great because it was so creative. I mean, I was lucky enough. I was really fortunate to be with a creative group in this agency that really nurtured me and really let me spread my wings. And, plenty of bad ideas came out of my typewriter, but some really fun ones as well. And my group had, you know, really helped me develop. It was back at a time when it was radio, TV, and print. There was no digital. There were no personal computers yet. It afforded itself a lot of interesting opportunities. It was great creativity. It was just so much fun, so much fun. I actually worked on the launch of CNN. I've been around for a while. Yeah. Turner
That's
Broadcasting
amazing.
Turner Broadcasting was one of our big accounts.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
And
CNN obviously is headquartered in New York City, which
it was in Atlanta then. I don't know
really?
Where. It was. I actually could see from my office. We had Coca-Cola business, and we had CNN. We had Turner Broadcasting, and both of those headquarters were across the highway from our office building, and I could look out my window and see both of those headquarters.
Whoa!
And,
wow.
Yeah, it was great. So I got to work on some ancillary Coca-Cola business. We had Fresca. Which I don't even know if they bottle that anymore, but we had Fresca and Hi-C and some other business that came through there. We had Busch Gardens account, and I actually worked on a spec campaign, which was so much fun, for a malt liquor that was being introduced by Anheuser-Busch. And that was an interesting and really fun campaign.
Wow. So you worked with a lot of brand name companies. So CNN, Coca-Cola, Busch Gardens, Anheuser-Busch. Wow,
Purina,
that's amazing.
Purina Dog Foods. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Ralston Purina was the company at the time. I still have two animation cells from a Cookie Crisp commercial that I wrote back in, 1981 that are framed and over my desk.
Cookie Crisp? Oh, my.
Cookie Crisp cereal, which is still on the market.
Well, okay. Which company sells Cookie Crisp? Is it?
Well, it was Ralston Purina at that time. I don't know who's making it now.
Okay, so Purina.
Cookie Crisp.
So Purina.
Purina. I don't know. It's probably General Mills. I don't even know anymore. It's probably General Mills.
I think it was General Mills because Purina is obviously the dog food, right?
Yeah,
and
that
then
was the dog food, but we got, I don't know how that worked, but, you know, it's so long ago. But, yeah, so General Mills, we did a lot of different stuff, a lot of packaged goods.
Oh, wow. Well, that's amazing. Now, obviously, you mentioned before that you've been around a long time. You've seen a lot of, I guess, ups and downs and whatnot when it comes to the field you're in. I'm curious, can you talk to us about the current state of business and copywriting in particular? Like, what challenges has the pandemic posed, if any?
I don't know that the pandemic posed any challenges other than people who didn't have any projects to work on for a while. And the messaging, which I often would post on LinkedIn, like, we need to stop talking about unprecedented times and uncertainty. Like, just stop it. Let's all just move on to something else. You know, that messaging, which needs to be sensitive to the moment, becomes cliche in a heartbeat, you know, because every brand jumps on that bandwagon, and I understand why. And then it's cliche, and you just cannot listen to it anymore. I'd say, though, that a challenge is that in the digital marketing age that we're in now, the conversation is more about content I actually wrote a blog post once about the word content makes me sad because it makes me feel like landfill. We're talking about landfill. We have to fill something with content. Mm-hmm. But and it's just because that's how I think about it. But the inbound marketing, the blogging, the website updates and all those things which are so pivotal and so necessary for brands, companies, even solopreneurs to market themselves. It becomes the social media content, all of that becomes first and foremost. And as a copywriter with roots in more traditional channels, shall we say, I killed to write a TV spot. But, happily I get a chance to write social media ads and an occasional, journal ad, print ad, something like that for a client. But these days a lot of copywriting means content writing.
Mm.
And they're really two different things because advertising copywriting is about a concept and developing creative messaging around that concept.
Right.
Content marketing is way different. It's just here's the topics that we're going to optimize for these topics. We're going to talk about these topics. This is what we need to talk about. And you can provide informational, educational, and helpful information through your website, through your blog, through your downloadable e-guides and all that kind of stuff. And that's great, and it's definitely needed. But I think that people don't understand there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that I write ad copy, that I'm a copywriter, and another challenge I would say is ancillary but tied in with how I work is the fact that so many people are now working remotely, not because of the pandemic, it's just we're all outsourced and we're here and we're there and we're not sitting in the agency together. I'm talking about the freelance community. That what's missing is that real-time together in the office collaboration between the copywriter and the art director, which is a traditional pairing in an ad agency.
Right.
You were in a group with your group head, two group heads who were also copywriters and art directors, and then there were teams of copywriters and art directors. And
right.
you discussed the concept and you came up with the whatever it was, the billboard, the brochure, the ad, the radio spot, the TV spot. And these days, I would say that a challenge for many freelancers is that kind of collaboration is often missing unless you force it, ask for it, create it. So there are people with whom I work on a regular basis through the marketing agency. And because we've worked together for a couple of years, even though we haven't worked in the same physical space, it would not be unusual for me to call or email the art director and say, "You have 15 minutes to hash this out with me on the phone. Let's talk about the concept and the direction we want to take, even for the website. Like, what are you thinking about for the website design? So that when I write, I'm writing to support that, and that you're designing to support the navigation. And it's." It's missing for freelancers, I find, very often.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I think something that's changed a lot over the years in the freelance community, not necessarily in the ad agency marketing community because that's different. But as a freelancer, I would say I love my freedom and I love my independence, but I miss that tight collaboration with my art director partner.
Wow. No, I can totally get that. Thank you so much for your answer. It's interesting because being a freelance copywriter is something that appeals to me because I like the freedom and the locate. You can be location independent and you could be a digital nomad, so to speak. So it's something I want to get into, even though I don't have a writing background, so to speak. Something that it interests me greatly. So I definitely want to reach out to folks like yourselves who are copywriters and whatnot. And particularly since you live in close to the area that I live geographically and whatnot. And it's curious. Now, you mentioned that with a lot of freelancers, one of the downsides of that is that they obviously you don't get that cross-pollination, so to speak.
Right. But it depends on who you're working with, and it depends on what your projects are, you know. And sometimes you don't need, you know, I love when somebody will send me an email going, I need a new tagline for this, mm-hmm. you know, or, you know, can you throw me some headlines? Oh, my God, yes. Hold on. Hold my beer. I'll be back in 30 minutes with a page of taglines or headlines. You know, and that's different. But, you know, there's a lot of work that really benefits from two creatives coming mm-hmm. together to hash right. it out. And I'll always Definitely. Maintain that a good art director can write a great headline because he or she is thinking in terms of the concept and the visual, and they're good writers. And a good copywriter may not be able to do the layout, but will recognize and be able to qualify what makes a good layout or a good design over something that's way too busy or oddly laid out or something's off, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's something that you often develop from that partnership.
Right. Wow. So, you know, this is the first I've heard of the importance of the art director, which is incredible. And you talked a lot about, you mentioned headlines or taglines, and mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of reading on copywriting, and they talk about the headline is the most important part, mm-hmm. so they say. And
yeah,
I was
so
like, oh,
say.
Wow.
Well, it's going to grab the attention, right? It's going to lure them
right.
in, get them to read more. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. I definitely see that. So, you know, if you can write a good headline, that, I mean, it means a ton, so to speak. So, and I could feel the passion in your voice. I can tell that you like this, you know, being creative and whatnot. And, you know, you mentioned to have someone hold your beer while you come up with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you accomplish these tasks and whatnot. So, and that's amazing. Now, you mentioned the changes, sort of like, obviously from the concept to content, so to speak, and mm-hmm. to digital. And so it's very different, so to speak, from what it is beforehand when you first got into the industry. And I'm guessing because of the change, you've had to sort of pivot, right? And
yeah, very much so.
Right.
Very much so. But, you know, I enjoyed a successful and fun career in advertising for about 7-plus years, and then I left it because it was becoming unsatisfying. And they were starting to rely, you know, every time the account manager would come in, it was like all about the research. Well, the research shows. I was like, oh, I am checking out. I don't want to hear about your research and your numbers. You know, it was the early days of data-driven marketing.
Mm.
And I said, no, not buying into that. And I left, and I did a lot of other things in between and came back to it about 15 years ago, I guess. And, of course, by then, it was a very vastly expanded and different landscape with, you know, digital marketing and social media advertising and marketing and blah, 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 you know, all that, blogging and website development. So it was very different. So, yeah, you have to learn quickly.
Right.
And you have to be able to grasp things with facility.
Mm. Mm.
In order to maintain a competitive edge
mm.
or have people within your network or in your stable, if you're running a practice with subcontractors, who can fulfill various functions with varying degrees of expertise. Because nobody is an expert in everything. Nobody is great in everything. I'm a generalist as a copywriter, but I can list several areas where you never want me to touch that or go near that, or I'm not comfortable, or I don't know that, or that particular industry requires a very specific experience and expertise that I don't have. So it's really, you know, while it's really important to be versatile and something of a generalist, there is value for others in being a niche expert or somebody really good at, you know, something. It's like I can write on-page SEO copy that makes sense and mm-hmm. aligns with your optimization goals, but I don't do SEO. You know, I get that question. Do you do SEO? I'm like, no, that's, you know, SEO experts. I can recommend 3 people who live and breathe that stuff all day long, you know. Do you do PR? No. I write for public relations. I am not a media relations person. I will write press releases and story pitches and corporate bios and, you know, anything like that, but I don't do PR. So it's important to understand what you can deliver, where you fit in, and who all the other players are, because I think that the end users, the customer, the client, so to speak, don't always understand those differences.
Wow. And thank you so much for that. And you mentioned how it's important to learn things quickly. And
yes.
You had to do that in your case because you had left for a while.
Yeah.
Then you came back and everything was totally different, right?
It sure was. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned before that you're a bit of a generalist, but obviously there are certain fields or niches that you're not comfortable writing copy for, and they should potential clients should seek those, you know, people. You can maybe perhaps refer them out to others and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I hear this all the time, that a lot of times copywriters will turn down work and whatnot, very common. So, and I've actually been networking with a copywriter who has a niche in oncology. He's like a medical copywriter.
Yes. See, so if I had become a doctor, and then I could be a medical writer.
Right, you could have
done
that.
But I didn't do that.
So,
yeah, I mean, not health care per se, but pharmaceutical,
right,
medical writing,
right.
that's a niche.
Mm-hmm.
Certain areas of financial services, which are heavily, compliance driven.
Right.
That's a certain niche. Corporate communications is a different kind of skill.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that I'm apt to want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with roots in brand advertising, you know, that's really what I love, you know, so.
Right. So I'm curious, where do you you've given us a great picture of how things are currently and how things were before and the change and whatnot. And you were around prior to when the internet came out, so you've seen quite a lot of change and upheaval and whatnot. But where do you see things going in the future, and where do you see yourself in that future?
I think that I think the train is already leaving the station, but there's a huge push for artificial intelligence to take over a lot of marketing tech. And I've been glancing at, I'm not reading in depth, but glancing at a lot of articles about, you know, what's your ad stack, your marketing stack. You know, it's all about the marketing, the MarTech, the marketing technology, which is, again, lots of data-driven and, you know, tech-driven marketing. We're all victims of it when we get the retargeted emails, you know, and we're thinking, holy moly, all I did was mention on the phone to my sister that I was thinking of X, and now I have an email about it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right. Facebook is listening to me. Well, there is a certain validity to that. And I think that that's not going to get any better. If anything, it's probably going to get any worse.
Right.
So that's a whole different level of technology, and I don't even know where copywriters fit into any of that. But I'll maintain that people still need advertising for certain things, and although the channels may change, you still need polished professional messaging, and you're always going to need that, whether it's how you introduce yourself at a networking event, to how you present yourself on your website, to the blog articles that you publish or share with others. There's always a reason somewhere to have polished and professional messaging that really conveys your brand promise, your unique selling proposition, and if it's not so unique, make it sound unique, and convey the what's in it for them. And that is always at the heart of advertising. What's in it for them? What's the pain point, to use an overused marketing term? But, you know, the consumer needs to see himself or herself in the message, in the ad, in the TV spot. They need to hear themselves in the radio spot. They need to get drawn in, by a social media image that, you know, that's accompanied by a little bit of text. I will also maintain that people read, you know, nobody reads anymore. You know what? People read what interests them. Eventually, you know, even if they have to bookmark it and come back to it later, people will read what interests them. So I don't believe nobody reads anymore. But I also understand fully that we are in a, you know, attention deficit disorder society, and I don't mean that in a way to impugn anyone who actually deals with a learning disability. What I mean is that, you know, where everybody's like, I need it now, I need it fast, I need to skim, I need to scan, oh, I'm so busy, I'm looking at 8 million things. Nobody seems to want to slow down and take it easy. Okay, if that's the direction that it's going, we as copywriters need to once again make sure that we're delivering the punch quickly and succinctly. And whether it's the snappy headline, the great opener to a social post, a brochure that's just enough without too much, you know, a compelling images are more important than ever before. And with the rise and prevalence of video as a marketing channel, right? Some people are great off the cuff and can just, they have some bullet points. They know they need to cover it. They're going to speak to the camera, and in 1 to 2 minutes, they've nailed it. Other people need a script. So there's room for copywriters who can turn out polished video scripts.
Wow.
Because most people can't do that themselves. Not that they're not capable, but have you ever tried to write about yourself? It's really hard to get out of your own way.
Right.
And, you know, people are staring at the blank screen. I don't know what to say. Well, you do know what to say. You just don't know how to say it. So a copywriter is going to step in. Give me your brain dump. You know, what are you trying to say here? You know, what's your promise to your consumer? What are you selling? We'll make it in, you know, we're going to polish that sow's ear and make you a silk purse that's going to sell your product, your goods and services.
Right.
That's never going to go away. It's just going to continue to shift.
Okay. And so you painted an interesting picture. You talked about, and thank you for your answer, you talked about AI may take over more marketing tech.
Yeah, the chatbots. Those chatbots, not good.
But they can never replace, obviously, copywriting, the idea of writing words in order to sell or wordsmithing. And it's interesting. Now, you talked a lot about how when you engage in writing copy, you want to look or somewhat read the customer's mind. You know, they're tuned into a radio station called WIIFM, what's in it for me, right?
Yes.
And you want it to... You want to be aware of that. You want to be on that on your station, what's in it for them, right? And so it's interesting. Now you want to talk about, again, the pain points and all the other things that go into sales copy. It's interesting. I was reading a book that said that if you want to know about effective copy, find out what works on you to make you want to buy something, right?
That's actually a great pearl of wisdom. What made you buy that? You know, especially if it was something you didn't really need, and if it was something that you did need, what benefits were pointed out to you that compelled you to check that out? And I say benefits and not features, because benefits are the problem that you solve. Features is how that gets done. Do we really care how it gets done? Maybe less so than what is it going to give to me. Is it going to give me more time? Is it going to save me money? Is it going to make me more attractive? Is it going to make my kids smart? Is it going to make my home more valuable? You know, whatever it is, you want to know what the benefit is and how to solve that. Now, blogging, which copywriters do all day long as content writers, is a little bit, you know, is a different approach. And while you may eventually get to the here's how we solve your problem, that's more informational and educational and not overtly promotional. Copywriting lives in the world of promotion, and content lives in the world of information. It's very different.
Okay. Interesting. So blogging is informational. It's different.
Yeah,
content.
Nobody wants to be sold, right? I mean, you have your call to action at the end with, by the way, if you want a free assessment or to learn more about, you're always going to have a call to action, and that's fine, but you're not starting out talking about how great you are and what your company can do for you. And, you know, if you're an HVAC contractor, you want to share helpful tips on keeping your air conditioning system up and running. And, oh, by the way, if you haven't scheduled your routine maintenance, give us a call. We're happy to help, you know. But in the meantime, you've provided value by providing information that the, you know, user could use, you know, or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's been, I guess, sort of a shift into that content world where you're seeing more of that, that kind of self-selling.
Yeah,
so
the way, it's not selling, it's informing, it's being helpful, the helpful resource, the did you know, but it's also, you know, depending on your audience, of course you have to really know your audience, it's also helping them be better at what they do, like getting them more in the know. You know, which is important. You know. So you've provided value that way, and all that inbound marketing stuff that provides value.
Right. And so it's amazing that we're consumers are, you know, I guess leaning more towards this kind of way. You know, it's interesting. They're getting more and more skeptical of copy and advertising that sells them directly. And it reminds me of an old saying that everyone wants to buy, but no one wants to be sold, so to speak.
Yes.
And, So it's interesting. So I'm curious now. Obviously, you've been in this industry for a while now, and I'm curious. Are there any myths or misconceptions you'd like to debunk about copywriting?
Well, I think the biggest one is that you're going to get quality from something like Fiverr, and you might, but. The problem, I think, is that a lot of these crowdsourcing platforms have sort of cheapened the market and have made copywriting a commodity. And the same would go for graphic design or art direction or logo design or anything like that, that these crowdsourced platforms where people can get you cheap and these content farms that spring up where, you know, you could get a great blog article for $40. Well, I got to tell you, if you want to publish that on your website, you go right ahead. But you are not going to get quality. And people who say, oh, I don't care. I got it done. It just got done. It's got the keywords, blah, blah, blah. It's good enough. And listen, I am a proponent of sometimes good enough is good enough. You can't get paralyzed by perfection. But working with a professional who knows what he's doing or knows what she's doing will yield you a product that you will be proud to share across your marketing estate, as they say, far more than the $40 content farm blog article that's a horrendous mess and barely in legible English. I'll just leave you with that one. So, you know, bottom feeders have at it. Quality costs money, and it doesn't have to cost a fortune. But copywriters should not be seen as commodities that could be had for the lowest bidder.
Wow. And, you know, I'm learning so much from you about this industry. So thank you so much for all the tips and your insights into when it comes to copywriting. Yeah, it's interesting. I guess it goes back to the old saying that you get what you pay for, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Right. So you go the cheap route, and it may not be the best, right?
Right.
Yeah, and so. It's interesting. Now, you mentioned that with all this crowdsourcing, and you mentioned the website Fiverr and whatnot, and it's sort of commoditizing copywriting. And what happens is when that happens, everyone's competing on price, right? So it's all about, you mentioned bottom feeders, but it's like, how low can you go, right? It's like all about price at that point. And that may not be great. Particularly for someone like yourself, you're obviously a quality copywriter, and you're not going to sell your services for $40. I'm sure.
No, I won't. And I'm seasoned enough and have enough work to not feel like I need to compete on price.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to work with clients who value what I or my colleagues bring to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that comes with, that's a level of confidence that comes with maybe age, comes with experience. I know who my peeps are, you know, and I don't need to compete with anybody on price. I'm never going to be the most expensive, by the way, and I'll never be the least expensive. I'm usually right in the middle. But what, is most important is that you value what a professional brings to the campaign or brings to the effort.
Right. And I'm sure there are many people out there that appreciate quality, right?
They do.
And so there's always going to be a market for that. And and it's amazing how you have the confidence and the posture, and you know how much you're worth, right? And you know, so many freelancers out there, they're. I think if you look at the other end of the coin, they may be actually very good, right? And maybe they're not putting out, you know, sloppy work for
no, they might be highly skilled, but they feel the need for what. Listen, people are in very different places in their lives, and may feel that, you know, I need to just keep taking whatever comes my way regardless. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's really, really important to recognize that if you're a real marketing professional, you bring value to the relationship that sometimes can't be quantified.
Right.
And is worth an investment by the right client.
Right. Absolutely. I'm curious. I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. What if someone's a beginner and they're just starting anew, right, as a freelance copywriter? Should they be able to charge low prices in the beginning and then as they get experience, get more clients, they should up the price?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. But, you know, people will also recognize that, you know, somebody charging $25 an hour and somebody charging $95 an hour are clearly going to be different people. I would say that I would counsel somebody who's getting started to not be a freelancer if you can avoid it and try to get a job at an agency where there's a team and an infrastructure and there's mentors and people who can develop you. You can't. I don't think you can just do it on your own. And I don't care if you graduate with a degree in communications with a concentration in advertising. I've seen the work that comes out of some of those programs, and it's not great. So, and there's nothing like the real life experience and sitting in that client meeting with your group head or your, you know, creative director, and just being around that level of work and seeing what you can soak up and the opportunities that it provides. I actually would not recommend that somebody start out as a freelancer. I don't think you gain the experience that you need to then go off and be a freelancer. I think that there's too much development, and especially today where technology is so rapidly evolving and being added and changing the way that ad spends are done and the way that, you know, media plans are implemented and all this programmatic and addressable TV and all this kind of stuff in the ad buying world, which will spill over into the ad creation world. I think that there's just so much to take in and to understand where a copywriter can fit in. I think a person starting out needs to start at an agency.
And be at that agency for maybe 2 years?
Yeah, a couple of years.
A couple of years, okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I left the agency in Atlanta. I was there for 3 years, and I left for personal reasons, and I came back up to New York. And you know what? It was never the same. And I worked in New York for a few years at an agency there, and then I left the industry altogether and did a bunch of stuff before I came back to it. So...
Okay.
I don't think anything could beat the experience I had on a learning curve level, on a just a professional development level that those early agency jobs could replicate.
Wow.
And I'm actually just realizing that now in our conversation. Like, I think a junior copywriter right out of school would be nuts to try to go freelance. Unless you were like Ernest Hemingway. I don't know. Well, he didn't write ads. But, you know, unless you were David Ogilvy, it's just not, you know, Bill Birnbach. It's just not going to happen. So,
right.
In my view. So, to be a content writer is a different thing. And if you're a good writer who understands the goals and can gracefully insert keywords without bashing everybody over the head and all that, you can be a content writer and hone that skill very well. But to be an advertising copywriter is a different thing.
So content writer could pull it off as a freelance?
I think so. Yeah. Like a blog writer, mostly. When I think of content writers, I think bloggers or e-books and guides and stuff like that. But, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe video scripts. You're not going to write TV commercials as a freelancer. You know, you're just not. It's just not going to happen unless you're an experienced freelancer working with a marketing agency or a client who needs a TV spot. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I know how to do that. So, you know, or a radio campaign or something, you know, which, you know, occasionally I'm called upon to do that because people know I know how to do that. So, but most clients aren't asking for that. They're asking for websites and blog articles and the content and an occasional ad campaign, which is usually a digital ad campaign.
Wow.
Which is fine. But that's a different, you know, it's a different skill. But so I'll maintain that a junior person just starting out should never start out as a freelancer unless it's something very specific.
Right.
I think the knowledge and experience that you're going to soak up at an agency is invaluable and will steer you towards something that you may not have expected, you know, that you want to do.
Right. And, well, again, thank you so much for that. You've given me your opinions and your insights are very enlightening to me, particularly when it comes to this industry, which I told you before, I have some interest in. And I'm curious, now, obviously, there are so many great copywriters out there like yourself, right, who are quality copywriters who know what they're doing, who put the work in, who paid their dues and whatnot, who aren't charging the lowest, you know, basement level prices, but right. And I'm curious, what's your competitive advantage do you have as a copywriter? What makes you perhaps stand out and maybe make you better than some of the other competition that are on the same level as you as far as quality?
I would say, I'm going to be very honest, it's less about the quality of the work I put out. Because there are many talented people out there. I think it's my listening skills, and I know that one agency for which I freelance, the president always says, I really want you on that client call because you always ask the best questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, copywriters need to ask all the great questions because that's how we get drilled down to the nugget of, you know, what are these people trying to say? What are they really selling? And what does the customer need? You know, so I think it's all in the listening and people skills. Really being able to, you know, for me as a freelancer, you know, I think it gives agencies a sense of, not relief, what would be of assurance and confidence to know that, you know, I'm an adult in the room. You can put me in front of the client. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll keep my mouth shut if something I think is, I better not bring that up today. I'll bring it back to the office and confer. And that I, you know, that I'll represent the agency as a freelancer. I'll represent the agency in the best possible light. If it's my own client, that's a different relationship and, you know, a different level of interpersonal connection. But I think ultimately it's listening, it's asking questions, and I would say the willingness and the openness to take direction and to take feedback, constructive feedback, because you know what? None of us is ever perfect anytime, certainly not 100% of the time. And there are plenty of times where I'll send copy over, and either the client will provide some edits or the agency director or whoever it is that I'm interfacing with will say, you know, I love those lines. Could you do one that speaks more to the aspect of B instead of A? Oh, yeah, sure. Let me take a stab at that. That's a good idea to have that in the mix. So I think putting your ego aside and understanding, you know, push back when you really, really believe in something and you really feel it's the right way to go. But also be willing to take the constructive feedback and the direction. Because just because you're thinking it's the greatest way to go doesn't mean it's the greatest way to go. It's just what you think.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, they always say the customer's always right.
Well, customer isn't always right, actually.
Right. Well, they can also be wrong, obviously.
But the customer's point of view is valid. So,
right.
You know, even if it's the agency head who says, well, that's,
right.
you know, that's really great, but let's, I was thinking more like this. Oh, okay. You know, like I said to you when we were chatting before we went live, it's only an ad. lives don't hang in the balance here. Stop being so self-important. Just think about it anew. Take the direction. If you really think it's the wrong way to go, bring it up. You know, I've reviewed copy lines all the time and brand statements and positioning statements and you know, whatever. And I'll often say, take that out of the presentation. It's flat. It doesn't work. But you're the one who came up with it. Okay, but now I'm seeing it. I don't like it, so take it out. I'm seeing it with fresh eyes. Just because I wrote it down doesn't mean it's good. You know. So, you know, it works both ways. I'm taking my own direction. Take that out. But really, being willing to listen and ask all the right questions and take direction, I think, are skills that are really necessary.
Wow. And
keep
so I guess, right, putting the ego aside.
Yes.
So it's interesting because it goes back to that, and I'm going to use the sports analogy. You know how to master the fundamentals, the basics,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned listening skills,
mm-hmm.
Having the best questions and doing the research,
mm-hmm.
obviously through the questions and whatnot, and taking direction, handling the criticism, only pushing back in rare occasions when you really, really think, you know, you're right and whatnot, and putting the ego aside, right, and remembering
right.
it's only an ad, right?
Right, so, right. It's only a blog article. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
It's excellent advice, and it's interesting when you mentioned the questions, having the right questions, because obviously as a copywriter, you have to know who the customer is exactly, what's their motivations, right? And
mm-hmm.
you want to have like an avatar, as they say. Of
yes.
Right.
I tend not to think like that because that's like kind of newer speak. But, you know, but yes, you want to create
yeah.
that avatar, the buyer persona, you know, all those things that they talk about in marketing that we never brought up in advertising, by the way. But it's like, really? But you need that because you need to know what motivates them, what do they need, what do they want, where are they in their buyer journey, and and how can you reach them and lure them in for more information and get them interested, get them to click through for, you know, that consultation or that appointment or, you know, buy this now or whatever it is. And by the way, it doesn't always have to be short form. There's a return to the longer email, like a longer direct mail style kind of email. And sometimes that works, like, you know, as long as you give them enough areas to click for more.
Right.
And you have it properly formatted with bold call outs and, you know, lead them through and they can skim for the information they need. Doesn't always have to
right.
be three sentences. But.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting how when it comes to copy, you know, we're inundated with copy everywhere we go. We don't even realize it. And, you know, when copywriting was mentioned to me, I was like, oh, this seems interesting. But then now that I think about it,
it's everywhere.
Yeah, the emails, You mentioned how you
Yeah, email marketing.
Right, to click, and obviously we've all read those long sales letters, so to speak, right?
Yeah, they are sales letters. That's exactly what they are.
Right. And
but if you're
so,
writing it in a compelling way that speaks to the audience, and in, you know, and then you get into things like brand voice and voice of the customer, but, you know, brand voice, so you're really, you know, reflecting the brand, which will likely speak to your target audience. You really need to understand that. You know, are you stuffy and formal and long-winded, or are you kind of light and breezy and whimsical? What's your brand? You have to know that. You have to really understand that. And a good copywriter can be versatile enough to kind of speak in anyone's voice or in a multiple realm of voices.
Wow. So they have to have multiple
personality. You should. I mean, you don't need to be doing anything. You don't have to do anything. But
right.
A copywriter, a versatile copywriter, I'll just say it this way, a versatile copywriter will be able to craft messaging in a range of brand voices.
Wow. And so that's incredible.
I totally suck at formal, stuffy, pedantic, academic. That's not me. I don't do that. That's like too corporate communications. I'll refer people to a corporate communications person who really loves that, you know, speechifying kind of stuff. But I can do a lot of other things, you know.
So. Right. That's amazing. And the idea of putting yourself in other people's shoes, so to speak, is something a good copywriter should know how to do.
Yes.
And you mentioned that if there's something that it's just not your forte or fort, so to speak, you can always refer out.
Yes.
And I guess that brings me to my next question, the power of networking, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing a lot of people, freelancers in particular, they'd love to get to the point where they mostly or solely rely on getting referrals, right? And also, and that helps if you can get referrals through networking. And we actually met on a networking platform. I reached out to you on LinkedIn, right?
Yes.
And I love LinkedIn.
LinkedIn has been a great source for me over the years for connection.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. I would consider LinkedIn the primary networking platform for professionals. It's like a networking event that never turns off. If you do it right. And it's not for selling, obviously. It's for building relationships. Selling is
don't sell there.
That will get you in trouble. But I'm curious, what is the best way for one to go about networking and getting to a point where they, you know, mostly or solely rely on referrals for new business? And this goes for not just entrepreneurs and freelancers, but job hunters, you know, obviously looking for work. Yeah.
Right. I think it just goes across the board. I think you need to be a good citizen, and you need to do a few things. I'll say you don't need to do anything. Here's how it has helped me and benefited. Here's how I have benefited. To be the good citizen, to be a willing source of referrals and help and support first.
Mm-hmm.
Not be, what do you got for me? Got anything for me? Got anything for me? I'm selling. I need work. Got anything for me? Rather, especially on LinkedIn, participate in group discussions. Join the right kinds of groups that make sense for you, whether it's industry related or regional or, you know, whatever. If you belong to networking associations and trade groups, find their pages on social media, you know, Facebook or LinkedIn, you know, whatever. Join them, follow them, provide sage advice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a weenie. Be a good citizen. And it's not you first, it's them first. Position yourself as an expert resource. Position yourself by posting strong content that speaks directly to your expertise, and content that may be ancillary but related to your field. You know, I don't do media buying, But once in a while, I'll find an interesting article about, you know, how ad spending is changing. You know, I don't really care about ad spending. That's not what I do. But it's related. It's related to what I do. And, hey, everybody, here's a great article on how digital ad spend last year was not as awful as we thought it was going to be, or something. Boom. Here's the article. Oh, thanks for that article. That was interesting. See, I just became a trusted resource. So you want to be the hub with a lot of spokes. And eventually, you get good word of mouth because you're the helpful citizen, right?
Mm.
You become that person who knows a lot of people. And then people start asking you for referrals to others who can do X, Y, and Z. And you know them because you've been networking and you've been a good citizen and you've paid attention to what other people do, so that when somebody says, I need someone who does X, hold on, let me check my connections. Oh, you know, I don't know that person personally, but I've been following him, and he's always talking about really good stuff. You should contact him and see if he can help you out. You know, again, be the helpful resource. Join groups that make sense. You know, I used to be a member of several other groups like the Ad Club and things like that, but I've been hanging my hat with the New Jersey chapter of the American Marketing Association for years. I like their programs. I like their groups, and I try to attend all the networking events that I can. Of course, more recently, it's all been online. You're going to start doing some in-person stuff, but you know, listening to what people are doing and connecting with people. You know, look at the chat and see who's putting their contact information there. And I'm going to reach out to that person and see if I can help her. Or, you know, find out more about what he does in case I get the opportunity to refer somebody to him. Not, I'm going to check out that person because I think she's going to give me work. She doesn't know where I'm holding the wall. She doesn't want to give me work. What is that? You know, that's like, oh, here's the one thing you never want to do, and we've all been victim of it. Somebody, so you know you've gotten these. Somebody gives a connection request. You don't really know them. You look at their profile, like, all right, you know, what could be so bad? And you connect, and like 5 minutes later, you get that email, you know, hi, why, you know, your profile was like super interesting. Okay, you know what? There is nothing interesting about my profile, dude. You are such a liar. Your profile was so interesting. I was fascinated about what you do. Okay, B, absolutely nothing fascinating about what I do. You know, and I, you know, do you have 5 minutes for a call? See, I'll never have time for you, and in fact, I am unconnecting from you right now because you immediately turned around and tried to sell me something I don't need, want, or care about.
Right. Right.
Never do that. Never do that. Anywhere. That's like going to a networking event and the people who, like, immediately hand you a business card. I cannot tell you over the years how many times I have looked a person in the eye and said, no, thank you, when they handed me their business card, because there is no way in hell I'm ever going to do business with this person or refer them. Just for various reasons. Just various reasons. No, thank you. I didn't ask you for your card. I never hand out a business card unless somebody asks me.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. I find it to be presumptive and obnoxious.
Right.
That's just me. But again, it's about the not me first.
Mm.
What's in it? It goes back to being a copywriter, right? It's the what's in it for them. What can I provide for them? Because eventually that's going to create like super great karma, and it's going to come back. It's going to come back.
Wow.
In a good way. It will. It always does. I promise.
Wow.
Where?
Definitely.
Not my first rodeo.
I think the advice you gave was amazing, beyond amazing, was excellent. And the idea of being a good citizen, it's about them first. I actually, that is actually my networking philosophy. I developed it from reading books by Ivan Misner and Bob Berg.
Yes.
You're familiar with them, right?
I'm familiar with Ivan, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bob Burr wrote the book Go Giver and Endless Referrals. Amazing books when it comes to networking and selling and building relationships. And You know, I always try to start off relationships by providing value, being the first to do that before I request anything in return.
Yes, it's about the what you said, providing value. Absolutely.
Right. And so that's one of the reasons why I started the podcast. I started it because I read a book by a gentleman called Steve Gordon called Unstoppable Referrals, and he talked about how interviewing people was a great way to build relationships and to start relationships by providing value. And almost everyone accepts an interview request. Not everyone, but a lot of folks do, high percentage wise. And so it definitely works. I always tell people, if you want to network a great deal, start a podcast, and not hard to do. And it's interesting. I tell people as well that the more you network, the luckier you get, right?
Yeah, that's true. And provide value goes also speaks to posting content of interest and value to readers. That's why I like the thing about, like, I don't do ad spending, but here's an interesting article, or, you know, here's a trend in your in my field. Oh, you're a real estate agent? You know, well, don't keep talking about your listings. Talk about technology in the real, you know, or something, whatever, you know, in the real estate field or whatever.
Right.
Provide value in other ways, you know, by the stuff that you're sharing. The content.
Absolutely.
Going back to the content.
That's absolutely true. And in a lot of these networking books, they actually do recommend emailing folks articles, being aware of people's birthdays as well. And,
yes.
And mailing out thank you cards, you know, it
yes.
goes a long way. So and it's such important advice, because obviously you've heard the saying, everyone's network is their network, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you definitely want to have relationships with people, build solid relationships before you even think about selling anything.
Absolutely. That's
own.
Why those people who turn right around to sell you, you know, with those messages, like, dude, we haven't even met. I don't know you. Go away. You know, permanently. Okay. Never darken.
Right.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's very terrible, because LinkedIn is obviously not a sales platform. It's a networking platform.
Oh, yeah.
And something that people need to understand, of course. And networking is like planting seeds. You're not going to see results right away. You're just planting the seeds, and you're just, so I guess kind of taking care of the seedlings and whatnot and
right.
watering and what here or there. And you'll, over time, reap. The harvest, it's not hunting, so to speak. So,
right, it isn't. It's cultivating, and it's cultivating the relationships. And you know what? I spoke very briefly about brand voice and stuff. You know, everybody has their brand personality, right, their personal brand. Don't be afraid to let that shine through. You know, let
right.
people get to know you in that way. You know, if you're a snarky and sarcastic person, let people know that. If you're, some kind of guru person who wants to, be kind and gentle to all animals, which I am. I'm not a guru, but I'm kind and gentle to all animals. You know, bring that out. Let people get to know your personality and what you're about, what makes you tick. And that's another
right.
way to develop those relationships. It's
absolutely.
Authenticity. You know, you just be authentic. Be yourself.
Right, and Bob Berg talks about that as one of his, I think, five rules in his book, Go Giver, authenticity. So there definitely is something to that, absolutely. And it's interesting. Now, I love the topic of networking. We can go on and on about it forever, obviously.
Yeah, that's like a whole other topic. Yeah.
Definitely. And obviously networking, of course, helped you in the beginning while you were, going through the breadcrumbs right in that early stage.
Uh-huh.
There were people who wanted to take you under their wing and help you, which is amazing and whatnot. And so, yeah, everyone stands on the shoulders of others, or has everyone,
yep.
you know, no one's ever truly self-made, so to speak. And so I'm curious. Now, obviously, I hate to leave the subject, but of course we have to. And I'm curious. We live in a country that unfortunately has a lot of, social ills, and like sexism, racism, homophobia, and whatnot. And I'm curious, have you ever faced sexism or discrimination on your journey? And if so, how are you able to overcome it to still achieve success?
If I experienced it, I wasn't aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt like I didn't have the same opportunities. I never felt that I was passed over for something because I was female. I, of course, wasn't privy to what other people were earning. Nobody was talking about gender pay gaps back, way back in the day. So I actually don't know if that was going on. And I always felt like I was fairly compensated for where I was in you know, at my stage of, at every stage of my career. I felt like I was fairly compensated, whatever that means. And again, if I had been the victim of some kind of, you know, gender discrimination or something, I sure didn't know it.
Okay. Okay, that's wonderful. So
yeah.
It doesn't appear to have hurt you in any way, which is excellent to hear.
Yeah.
And I'm, because we've all seen the TV show Mad Men, right? About the how the women were treated in this advertising firm, right? By the men, and but you obviously
I probably benefited from those women's fictional experiences. Like when I started, it was like the generation after that. So it was really, I mean, we were going out drinking a lot at lunchtime, but you know, so that was still going on. But the thought that women were, you know, seen as, you know, sort of secretaries that, you know, couldn't work their way up or anything, that just wasn't in the culture.
That's great. So you sort of, because of their sacrifices, it helped to benefit you, of course, right?
I guess so. And I really wasn't aware of that until I watched the show. And it was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? This was going on, like, right before I got into advertising? Like, I was kind of stunned. But, I'm going to guess that it was a pretty realistic depiction of the mores of the time. And, you know, Peggy Olson working her way into the copy pool. So I guess I have Peggy to thank for working hard on her campaigns and, you know, kind of fighting for her seat at the table, so to speak. It's kind of, you know, I remember being shocked, like, you're kidding me, right? This was really how it was, like, 10 years before, you know, or whatever, 15 years before I got into advertising, like, just a generation ago.
Right.
I guess it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I never felt like that was going on.
Okay. So that's wonderful. And it's great that you didn't experience that kind of thing. And obviously, even since the time when you first started, things have gotten even better. We've made even more progress, right, for women.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have now our first female vice president, a woman of color, which is amazing. No matter where you are on the political spectrum, that's great progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone who wants to do what you're doing, who's listening to and says, you know, I want to do what Karen's doing. I want to get into advertising. I want to be a freelance copywriter. Now, you already mentioned that you suggest that people should start working for an agency first.
Because you need a portfolio, and you need the direction. You need to build a portfolio. You don't just show up one day and say, I'm a writer. Well, I guess you could. But, work on your spec portfolio and get a mentor, which that's why it's, you know, best to work at an agency, because people are strapped for time and not everybody is available to be a true mentor in the way that would really be necessary. That takes a lot of time. So, I think just get the agency job. That's my take on it, and that may be completely way off base. I don't know. That's how I see it.
Right. And you talked earlier about how if you're just focusing on content, you may not necessarily have to do that.
Correct. Especially if it's an area where you're an expert. Like if you're a lawyer, and lawyers are often decent writers. In fact, they can be a little long-winded. Sorry, lawyers. But but if you're a lawyer, you can probably write about all sorts of litigation matters and, you know, your area of expertise and stuff without having to go through anybody. Just start, you know, write about it. But but again, if you're also looking to secure, it depends on what your goals are. If you're looking to secure an arrangement where you're a vetted, accepted contributor to a journal, let's say, you know, that may take a little bit of heavy lifting, and that's why people hire public relations experts to pitch them as an expert resource and get those contributorship opportunities. But if you just want to, you know, write for your website, or maybe, you know, somebody you know says, oh, can you get an article about, you know, employment law, because that's what you do, you're probably able to do it because you're probably a pretty good writer to begin with, and you know your subject matter. I would just say edit. Just read it over and cut it down because it's probably too long.
I'm sure there are a lot of lawyers have a thick skin, so they can take it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, they should be able to handle the criticism, as you say, or they should be able to take that in. And so I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone who's looking for a copywriter to work with? How should they go about doing it?
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, LinkedIn is certainly a great source. You know, you could just type in copywriters to whatever, but then you're going to get back all these hits and you're not going to know who to call and what the deal is. So ask, you know, if you've narrowed down a search based on some criteria that you've chosen, I would also, you know, say maybe get some referrals from people that you know, trusted colleagues. You know, I need a writer who can do X. Oh, use this person. He's really great. But also ask for samples or have the conversation about what the person can do, what that person understands, the areas that that person works in. And sometimes it's just take a chance, you know, like depends on what you need. Just take the chance. Take the leap. It's only an ad. It's only a blog article.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, you know, and just try somebody out. And but I would say have the conversation. Listen, you're hiring somebody, you're contracting with somebody who, you know, you're really looking to boost your marketing and boost your online presence, basically. You know, these days it's mostly the online presence or, you know, whatever it is that you need, especially if it's going to be an ongoing basis, I'd say get a personal referral.
Okay.
And have a conversation. Like, you want to vet that person just as much as you'd vet your administrative assistant or, you know, somebody else. A copywriter who works with you on a regular basis and will probably want a monthly retainer to do so, don't be afraid of that. The copywriter can become a really valuable member of the team. And when the copywriter has a lot of experience with your account, that person can stand in for you a lot of ways that you won't expect, whether it's responding to an opportunity to answer some question somewhere or whatever. You know, the copywriter's been working with you for a long time. He or she knows your product, knows your account, can say, hey, this, I just saw this. Here's what I think we should do. Yeah, for sure. Send that, you know, definitely send that off. So it's somebody who, you know, really think of that person as a valuable partner.
Wow.
Again, it's not the commodity, right? The copywriter is not a commodity. Copywriter can be a really valuable partner for your business.
Wow. And that is excellent advice. And thank you for that. And just to recap, you mentioned that one can go on LinkedIn, but obviously – you still have to dig a little further than just that. Obviously, you want
to
look at samples.
You need the best person, right? Yeah.
Right. And you sort of have to, I guess, shop around, as they say. And
Right.
And you're holding an audition or you're conducting a job interview to find the person, right? And you also mentioned the idea of obviously you have to sort of take a chance to try someone out. So after a while, you know, you can never be 100% sure. You just have to make that leap of faith, right? And it's just an ad, right?
Right. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to kill you. And by the way, if you paid the person for the blog article and you hate it, all right, so don't publish it. You know, move on. But But, you know, chances are, especially if that person came recommended to you through somebody that you know and trust, or, you know, you had the conversation, you felt pretty secure about, you know, the product you were going to get. All right, you know, it'll be fine. Work it out. It's going to be okay.
And you also mentioned the idea of getting a personal referral. So I think that's excellent advice. So it helps to have a good network so you can get these quality referrals, right?
Yes.
So definitely. And not to be afraid of putting someone on a monthly retainer, right, and making it they're good and doing that and having them be a part of your team. So
Very much. They'll have some skin in the game, you know?
Right. So definitely thank you so much for that advice and those tips. And I'm guessing as we start to wrap up, can you tell us, you already mentioned a few already, but what important life lessons have you learned yourself or from others along the way?
Oh, boy. Well, I'll go back to the it's only an ad. But I'm a reformed perfectionist, so it means a lot to me when I really can say with conviction that sometimes good enough is good enough, and that you can overthink anything and it won't matter. And it's especially with digital marketing, it's a website. It's not the last time you're ever going to update that copy. You can relax. It's going to be okay. And you can actually go in if you really, you know, something changed in your business model or, you know, whatever, or like just get it launched, get it out there. As long as it's professional and polished, you can tweak your messaging anytime you want, as many times as you want. That's the value and the beauty of living in this digital world, right? It's never really permanent on the page.
Right.
You can modify it. Don't, you know, and overthinking everything, just give it up. Just give it up and publish the darn thing.
Right. And so definitely, I love that advice. I'm also a perfectionist myself, and I understand the danger of that. And
well, it's like that analysis paralysis people talk about, you know. Like, well, I don't know, let me examine it from this way. No, it's still the same thing. Just take the leap.
Right.
Nothing, you know, nothing's going to happen. It's going to be okay.
Right. And good enough is oftentimes good enough. And
I don't mean compromising qualities that you're putting crap out, but like honestly, good enough.
Right.
It's not, the more you look at it, it's not going to get any better. It's really not.
Yeah, and you mentioned you could always go back in there and update it oftentimes.
Yes. That's the beauty of digital. We love that.
And
we really, really like that a lot. And just relax. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
It's just an ad. You're right.
It's just an ad. No, you want it. You know, obviously, you don't want to go to press with something that doesn't actually reflect you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, lives do not hang in the balance here. Let's all stop being so self-important and relax and have fun. Because you know what? Advertising, at its heart, is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's a lot of fun, you know, helping convey somebody's message and having fun with it and being creative. And, you know, so have some fun. Lighten up.
Definitely. So definitely thank you so much for that advice and whatnot. And I guess even beyond advertising, there's still, I think, a message in all that advice for folks in terms of not being an analysis paralysis, oftentimes starting something even before you think you're perfectly ready. They say that's one of the keys to success is, you know, get into that action and not be stuck in overthinking situations and whatnot. So, and then you learn as you go along, so to speak, and you can update in some cases. Definitely. It's so important to start and to make that leap and to get in there. So definitely, I think that's amazing advice. Thank you so much for sharing that wisdom with us. And I'm curious, Can you go ahead and describe all the ways that people can reach out and connect with you so they can have a dynamic center of influence like yourself in their network?
Thank you for that. Sure. So my website is www.stargates, and star has two R's, stargates.com. I'm on LinkedIn as Karen Starr, CarynStarr. Thank you, Mom, for being so creative about the way I spell my name. I'm on Facebook, and I have a business page there, Stargates Business Communications. That's the name of my company. And I occasionally dabble on Twitter. Don't bother looking for me there. It's like a very crowded playground. And let's see, we covered LinkedIn, Facebook, my website, and my email address is Karen, Caryn, at stargates.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Just so you know, all the information that you just provided will be available, will be seen easily in the episode description area, so people can see it and read it there. You got it. So definitely, Karen, I wanted to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I believe you're the first copywriter that I've had as a guest on the show. Definitely not the last, but you're definitely the first.
Ooh.
And so this has been an amazing experience for me. I had fun.
And I
great to hear. And I've learned so much from you about the industry and whatnot. I'm sure the audience will. My understanding is I think a lot more people are going into perhaps freelancing and perhaps copywriting. So perhaps if they're good at it, they can, you know, travel and be anywhere in the world and do this. So I think it's an industry that particularly may expand and blow up as we get into the future. So
yeah, well, people need, you know, their messaging handled properly.
Right. Absolutely.
And, yeah. But I also think that where we're, you know, going to continue to see the explosion is more in the content arena than advertising per se. But there is, you know, there's definitely, you know, crossover and leakage there, as they say.
Right. And so, again, thank you so much for your amazing insights and whatnot. And do you want to leave us with a last word or final send-off at all?
Nothing that I can think of offhand. Just have fun with it. People can reach out to me for a chat anytime. Happy to discuss. And let's have some fun.
Absolutely. So, again, I wanted to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And I wanted to go ahead and thank the audience for listening. I'm going to be seeing you guys in the next episode. Everyone, take care and have a wonderful day. And, of course, have fun.
You bet. Take care.
Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcast app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.